talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. I want to talk briefly at the beginning about the Kelly Protasiewicz race for Wisconsin Supreme Court coming up on April 4th. That's 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday. Make plans to vote. It's essential that you vote. Yes, I know it's an April election. It's not a November election. So what? This is a very important election. You can vote absentee by mail, or you can go in-person absentee. Just go to the municipal place near you, whatever town you're in, and they have in-person absentee voting a couple of weeks before the election. That's no fuss, no muss. You get it over with, short lines. And then on election night, you can sit back at home and watch it and relax. But if you can't do that, show up at the polls. Show up at the polls, open at 7 o'clock, close at 8 in the evening. You have to make childcare, job accommodations, whatever it is you got to do, make sure you vote. Now, let me tell you some recent developments. We talked about some of them yesterday. Urban Milwaukee, and Urban Milwaukee is a website, and you really should look at it. It's not just about Milwaukee. It's really statewide. Urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy, one of the great investigative reporters in the state. He's broken a lot of big stories. Urban Milwaukee came out with a piece just now, today, very, very well documented, showing how Dan Kelly is not considered a good judge, even by the other conservatives on the Supreme Court when he served with them. Now, there's plenty of reasons to vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Janet Protasiewicz is a former prosecutor, well over 20 years of the Milwaukee County DA's office. Toughest crimes, murder, sexual assault, gang violence, that kind of thing. But also, she's a great judge. And she said a couple of things flat out. Number one, bring on a gerrymander suit the minute she gets sworn in, and we're going to get rid of these rigged maps. And number two, whoever is elected in 2024, whatever party, she'll vote to certify him. She believes in our elections. Now, Dan Kelly, before I talk about the specifics of the Urban Milwaukee article, Dan Kelly has said he would not change gerrymandering. He likes it. He thinks it's a political issue. But essentially, his party is the one that gerrymandered. Number two, he has said when he was asked, will you certify a Democrat if the Democrat wins the Wisconsin election in 2024? He dodged it. Said he'd have to look at it. But he's being supported by some of the worst judges in the state. One of them who voted not to certify Joe Biden. That would be Rebecca Grassl Bradley, not the good Ann Walsh Bradley. It's Rebecca Grassl Bradley. She is supporting Dan Kelly. And Dan Kelly also got $120,000 from the Republican Party to advise on fake electors how to overturn the 2020 election. And this clown is being proposed for the Supreme Court. He went around the state with Gableman. Gableman sucked down, because the taxpayers over $2.5 million, and it may go over $3 million. This is the clown show that went on the road. Now, there are other reasons not to vote for Kelly. In the Zignago case, a terrific ad out that shows it, that in 2019, the Zignago case before the Supreme Court. And by the way, he was on it for a very short period of time, appointed by Scott Walker. But then under Wisconsin law, he has to run in his own right, and he did, and he lost. And he lost to Jill Karofsky. Now, after he recused himself from the Zegnego case in 2019. The Zegnegos contributed about $20,000 to him. His eyes lighted up, and he, in 2020, unrecused himself. You cannot have a judge who changes decision for money. That happens in Russia. That happens in Africa. That happens in Asia. That does not happen in the United States, and if it does, we don't put him on the Supreme Court. It's corrupt. And there's a very, very powerful ad that shows the money that he got for working with the Republican Party to set up the fake electors to bust the 2020 election. You can't have that. Can't have this guy. But now the article in Urban Milwaukee, very terrific stuff. His own conservative fellow travelers on the Supreme Court felt that he was not a good judge. They dissented in some of his rulings. That's very, very rare. If you have, you'll have some cases that all seven justices will go along with. Bread and butter, nobody, it has nothing to do with any ideology. But when the conservative bloc votes as a group, it's very, very rare to have one of them dissent. One of them who dissented was Pat Rogensack. And she's the chief justice who has who endorsed Doro, did not endorse Kelly. And in return, Kelly said he wouldn't endorse Doro if she beat him in that primary. This guy's something else. Guy's a piece of work. And Rogensack pointed out that some of the things that Kelly said in the decision that she dissented from were just flat out not good lawyering, much less good judging. I think Annette Ziegler is another one, and she dissented in something he did. So there's plenty of reason not to vote for him, but the better news is there's plenty of good reasons to vote for Janet Protasiewicz. She'll get rid of gerrymandering. She'll uphold the integrity of our election and vote to certify whoever wins in 2024. She'll throw out that 1849 statute, that really weird statute that's 174 years old, that women are supposed to obey for their health care decisions, even though no woman, their great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, whoever was around at the time, could vote for it. If she'd walked to the polls, they would have arrested her. And she could have said, well, wait a minute, I want to vote for a legislature that's passing this stuff. And they say, too bad, you obey them. Well, no, that's not the way the law works. This is such a clear distinction between Janet Protasiewicz and Kelly. This has got to be taken into account. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Now, a lot of big news. A lot of big news broke last night. And it is rumored, it's more than rumored, that now Alvin Bragg, the New York prosecutor, whom I have said many, many times took a dive, may have changed his mind. It may be that a lot of the criticism, he may charge Donald Trump with a crime. The New York prosecutor's office communicated with Trump's lawyer in the Stormy Daniels hush money payoff case, and they said they were inviting him to testify before the grand jury. Now, he'll testify voluntarily before a grand jury when pigs fly over the moon. You know that's not going to happen. So why do they do this? Because this is prosecution 101 you learn in law school. Once they've wrapped up the case, they've talked to everybody else, they give a chance to a defendant to testify, knowing he won't, before they indict him. It's a very, very powerful indicator. Is it a certainty? No, it's not a certainty. There is a very little known New York statute that also says that a defendant can ask the prosecution to let him testify before a grand jury and then change his mind. There's no real tactical reason to do that. I doubt very seriously that happened this time. Remember Michael Cohen, his fixer, his lawyer, went to prison, among other things, for the issue of the paying of Stormy Daniels, $130,000. $130,000. And say, all right, look, this guy's paying off his mistress $130,000. Why is that a crime? Because in New York, it is a crime for a business that is incorporated in New York, to put a false reason for a payment on its books, even if it's not publicly traded. So what they did is, Trump called Cohen and said, pay her 130, get rid of her. Then later on, he reimbursed Cohen, and it showed up as attorney's fees. Well, it wasn't attorney's fees. Now, that's a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor in Wisconsin, for instance, as an example, is a crime that's punishable by less, by not more than a year in jail. In other words, if you go to prison over a year, that's a felony that sent you there. What usually happens for these one-year deals is they get 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, and they'll have a bracelet. They'll be at home. They'll be on work release. They'll go in on weekends in the evenings. They can get probation. It doesn't seem as big a deal, although it's a very big deal. This guy's running for president of the United States, for Pete's sake. But secondly, that payment could be a felony. Why could it be a felony? Because in New York, if you do that and you misrepresent the payment on your books and do the intent, the deliberate intent to conceal it from investigators, that is a felony. And there's ample reason to show that, he did it that way. Cohen testified. He said, I did it in coordination at the direction of Trump. He said it. You know, I doubt that Michael Cohen ever met with Stormy Daniels. Certainly he was not intimate with Stormy Daniels. And he goes to prison for paying $130,000 and Trump doesn't? What's that all about? It's not fair. Now, one thing, if they do indict him, he's going to go around and he's going to boast about it. And he's going to say it helps his case. And we're coming up on a break. And after the break, I'm going to comment on it a little more. It's very important. Because how do we handle that? And what are the charges maybe pending against him? Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. Get back right after the break.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up on the charging of Donald Trump, which I think is imminent. A lot of people are going to go, well, yeah, but that seems like pretty small potatoes. There's the insurrection. There's the stealing documents in Mar-a-Lago. There's the Brad Raffensperger. There's extorting him. What is this all about? My own view is you take what you can get. This is probably the least consequential of all of them. And unless they charge it as a felony, it'll be a misdemeanor. But that said, this guy is running for president. And at some point, somebody's got to say, I don't want a guy who's a criminal being president. But I think there's some other cautiously optimistic news on the other. There's now some reports inside that Jack Smith may, in fact, that's the special prosecutor appointed by Merrick Garland, that Jack Smith may be about to file charges over the theft of the documents, classified documents. These are really top secret documents. I mean, these are eyes only documents, and some of them had to do with the nuclear secrets of an unnamed country. And Trump did lie about them, said he turned them over. His lawyers lie. Then he, when there was a subpoena, he grabbed them and flew them elsewhere. They think he has others concealed elsewhere, like in Bedminster, New Jersey, where he has a golf club. And he moaned and groaned after the search warrant, but he's still holding on to stuff. And there's a deep suspicion in the intelligence community that he's going to monetize them. He's going to monetize them, and the most obvious way to do it, I mean, the average guy, you don't go walking around Times Square and he goes, hey, psst, you want to You want to see some nuclear secrets? I mean, that's not going to go anywhere. What you do is the Ruskies have been, frankly, bankrolling this guy for a long time. He owes them a lot of money and can't pay. And the Russian mafia have unpleasant collection techniques, and he doesn't need this. So, and I know he has security and all that, but he goes, hey, I'll give you these documents. Now, at some point, you can't anticipate every way he's going to monetize it, but come on, it's about time we charge the guy. This is not helped, frankly, by Merrick Garland trying to be goody two-shoes. And then it turns out that Pence and Biden also had some classified documents, nowhere near this kind of stuff. And Biden, the minute his people found it, immediately turned it into the Justice Department. And some of it went back to the time he was in the Senate. It's very, you talk about classified, some stuff, not like Trump, not like the nuclear secrets, but some stuff. There are 7 billion classified documents out there right now. 50 million are done a year. There's no real protocol. Every clerk can just have a spastic moment, and they say, oh, here's something that's in the file. Sometimes it's a newspaper article, and you hit it classified. The stuff that I think probably every senator, probably, and every cabinet officer and every president has some inadvertently in his files. However, Garland think, oh, well, I'm going to put a special prosecutor on Biden, then I'll be a good boy. I'll be goody good shoes, and everybody will want me as Supreme Court justice. Nobody wants you as a Supreme Court justice. I don't want him as a Supreme Court justice. He's weak. On the other hand, Pence did not get a special prosecutor, and I think Pence's was as innocent as Biden's. But in any event, I think Jack Smith has seen through all that, and he may prosecute Trump, which would be a felony, substantial felony. Fannie Willis, who is a very brave prosecutor in Atlanta, now will be deciding very shortly whether or not to submit the extortion of Brad Raffensperger to a real grand jury, not an advisory grand jury. And so there may be something moving along in this regard. I want to tell you something, and this is going to, we don't have too much more time in this segment. This is fun. I mean, I can't believe this guy. You know, George Santos. George Santos had a roommate named Gustavo Trelha, and Santos taught him how to skim credit cards and ATM cards to steal money. This is what he testified to now. He said that Santos has had a warehouse in Florida full of fake credit cards and ATM cards, and that they agreed that Gustavo Trelha would use some of this stuff, would skim ATMs, and they'd split the money. Trelha got arrested. Santos, through his friends, threatened him if he disclosed the identity of Santos, who, by the way, at the time was known as Anthony DeValder. I'm not kidding. It may be that George Santos isn't his real name. The guy's a congressman from Staten Island. Unbelievable. The guy gets 7 months in prison, Trelha, but he raises money for his bail. And he says, Santos stole the bail money. Now, look, you know, I don't know why I'm laughing. This guy's a member of Congress, member of that veteran. And the veteran had a sick dog with cancer. And Santos said, hey, I'll do a GoFundMe. And he stole the money for the dog, and it died. It didn't get medication. Now, this is his co-conspirator. They're stealing credit cards and ATM. And the guy raises money for bail, and Santos steals the bail money. I mean, why should I give advice to a Republican? They don't want my advice. But my advice to a crooked Republican is this. Whatever else you do, if you're in cahoots with a bad guy to steal money, don't steal his bail money, too. That makes him very angry. And he goes to the slammer for 7 months. And then he got deported back to Brazil, which is now investigating Santos again. So the deal is, this doesn't really mean anything. Santos isn't going anywhere, but it's a vote. Why hasn't this guy been prosecuted? For Pete's sake, we're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. out in the West Texas town. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. Some positives. But, you know, I think, you know, with Santos, I think that's the new standards for the new Republican Party. That'd be a good con artist, liar, white supremacist. You know, get into conflicts, you know, support insurrection, you know, fascist-type behaviors. And there was something that I just recently seen, and I was wondering if you heard anything about it, but, you know, that Tucker Carlson put on his show, you know, regarding the insurrection. I guess from what I read, and I haven't double-checked it, but the Proud Boys are making motions, you know, to, you know, delay or stop their trial because of the new evidence, you know, with Tucker Carlson kind of thing. And then I learned that every one of those people that have been arrested have been given, you know, the evidence, you know, the videos from various takes and all of the evidence against them, I think, you know, so that they can plea or they can go to court or whatever. So they have not, this information has not been withheld if they saw them someplace in the Capitol before the insurrection or before they started this behavior. I thought this was very interesting because I thought, why would Tucker Carlson, you know, show that type, you know, of editing of the horrifying things that we saw. Maybe he's helping the insurrectionists. Who knows? But I just had to run that by you. Thank you so much, Matt. And you have a good weekend and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah, same to you. Yeah, let me address that. It's a very interesting question. What Gene's getting at is, remember that there are almost 1,000 people who are prosecuted, and about 600 of them have already been either pled guilty or been convicted and have gotten sentences ranging from probation to many years in jail. What Gene is referring to is that some of the more hardcore types, and, you know, the Oath Keepers, Boogaloo Boys, and so on, were facing trial. They're doing everything they can to delay it. And one way to delay it is to ask the judge to delay the trial so that they can see, in this case, what, all 44,000 hours, you know, of this video? You know, that's a delay tactic. And the answer is the judge will not grant it, in my opinion, for this reason. There is a case, a Supreme Court case called Brady v. Maryland. That's a long, long time ago. But in it, they enshrine the principle that the prosecution has to give the defense all exculpatory evidence as well as other incriminating evidence. Exculpatory simply means that would show that it would acquit him, you know, that he's innocent. So, for instance, if the prosecution interviews three witnesses and two of them said, he did it, I saw him, and one of them says, I saw who did it and it wasn't him, they have to give the names and the statement of all three of them. They can't just hide the one that would have acquitted the guy, okay? The way federal prosecutors handle it now is they have what's called an open file procedure where they just turn over everything to them. I mean, obviously not attorney-client correspondence among the lawyers for the prosecution, but basically all their evidence. And don't try to pick and choose what's exculpatory and what isn't exculpatory. There's no doubt in my mind that the federal prosecutors in the cases against the Boogaloo, and even the state prosecutors for that matter, if there are any, I doubt it in this case, but it would be federal. The Boogaloo Boys and the Oath Keepers and all that, you know, they're following Brady v. Maryland and they're following the open file policy and they're giving them all evidence. What's happening, or what may happen, is these guys will come in and say, yeah, but Tucker Carlson put this stuff on TV. In other words, some video from highways and byways in the Capitol, some of those weird little back things that show a bunch of guys just walking around. And the answer to that is very simple. The prosecution isn't introducing that as evidence. That is not evidence that the prosecutors have any control over. It was turned over to Tucker Carlson. You can go online and you can tape everything Tucker Carlson showed and do it on your own. We don't have to do it. We're not going to use that. So what they're trying to do is throw a monkey wrench in the timing of this thing. I don't think it's going to work because the prosecution is not using any video that they haven't disclosed to them. So thank you for calling, Gene. Very, very, very good comment. Well, this we are going to talk about something now that probably in the immediate sense, and there's the war in Ukraine, it's really the genocide in Ukraine and others, is most important. But this one, the Republicans, a handful of the most right-wing Republicans, headed by this Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, he's the one that the FBI grabbed the cell phone with a warrant, and now he's fighting to try to keep him from seeing what's on it. He was one of the ones that coordinated the Green Bay sweep and the fake electors and this this procedure to try to overturn the 2020 election. These very bad news. And this is a guy, who in the announcement of this group of his, and he has behind him Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar. He has about 12 or 15 of them. And they say, we are not going to vote to increase the debt ceiling, no matter what Kevin McCarthy says, unless, A, there is an immediate reduction in spending of $130 billion and a cap on federal agencies in future budgets, unless Biden agrees to, quote, unwind his economic agenda. What's that, hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure that's already passed? Yeah. That these cuts will be in healthcare, education, science, and labor programs. Repeal of all funds to fight the coronavirus, which now is waning, and climate change. They want to cut $400 billion going forward from the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the soft infrastructure. They want to cut out the $80 billion that's being used to hire IRS agents, hire them to catch tax cheats. But when they catch the tax cheats, that brings in more money to the Treasury than the money to hire them. They want to stop that. Now, the lines are live. I'm going to go to you right in a bit, but I got to say this. You cannot have an insurrectionist treason subcaucus holding a gun to this country's head by trying to make us default on our bonds that people have already bought, and default on Social Security payments, and default on paying the military, and default on paying secretaries and people who work on Capitol Hill, reverberates all through the economy, simply because you say you're not going to vote to increase the debt ceiling. This is already money that's been approved by Congress and the president and spent. In most cases, spent. So what are they asking for? They're asking for to shut down the government right now. Now, what can Biden do about this? There is a thing called a discharge petition, and if all Democrats vote, to increase the debt ceiling, it would only take about six Republicans to go along with them. And there are six Republicans at least in New York, and believe it or not, Pennsylvania and California, who would lose their seats if this country had to shut down. But it's not going to shut down because if they're chicken and won't do it. In the past, I've talked very, very frankly, bluntly about some of the things Biden can do with executive order. But I'm going to repeat them now because I'm not kidding about this. We cannot have one day where we let a bond default. We cannot have one day we're not making Social Security payments. In the 14th Amendment, there is a clause that says that the full faith and credit of the United States, and it mentions pensions, by the way, by name, cannot be impaired. Joe Biden, he's playing his cards close to the chest, has to, in my judgment, as you get closer to the default, invoke that, order the Treasury, and order the Federal Reserve to prepare the money to pay all of our debts. But if it goes to court and the six tarantulas try to shut that down, I'm going to remind you of some constitutional precedent. Alexander Hamilton is one of the smartest founders of the country. And Alexander Hamilton was asked, well, what happens if the Supreme Court does this and this one does this? His answer was, the Supreme Court does not have an army. That's what he said. That's Alexander Hamilton. In the 18th century, that's what he said. And Abraham Lincoln, when the Civil War started, you know that Maryland was basically a slave-sympathizing state. And there was a federal court in Maryland, and Roger Taney, the terrible Chief Justice, the guy that did the Dred Scott decision, remember him? In those days, one of the justices would sit on panels of three in the Court of Appeals, believe it or not. And they ordered Lincoln to do something about the Civil War, and he simply ignored him. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says the South couldn't secede. It recognized slavery. Lincoln said, well, the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. And they said, what are you, a constitutional scholar? You're going to bootstrap that into a war and keep it together? And you know what he said? Yes. And if the Supreme Court had stood in his way, he wouldn't have obeyed them either. This is what Biden has got to do. We cannot default on our debt. The 14th Amendment says so. Wisco Paul, my friend, we have a few minutes before the break. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Happy Friday to you, Matt. I don't know that I have one word for the Republicans in the Congress. Stupid. I'm fed up with these people running the country like this. You got to pay the bills you already ran up. That's the bottom line. I want to go back quickly. Yesterday, you had a caller call in, a conservative caller, and he was talking about how the Republicans were fired up and got Johnson reelected. The same thing is going to happen with Kelly. I disagree. Judge Janet has better campaign people. The people that ran Mandela's didn't. They just didn't get it. So she's got better campaign people, but the other thing is people are fed up with Voss. They're fed up with gerrymandering. They're fed up with this old Walker stuff and no ideas. So the bottom line here is the people I talk to, of course, I live in and around the Madison area, they're sick of it, and they're going to turn out and they're going to vote for Judge Janet. You're not going to change these mega Republicans. Lord knows they... you would think you could change them by now, but they don't seem to listen to reason. So that's my rebuttal. Judge Jen's going to win because the people are just fed up with not having fair maps and many other things. Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks a lot. No, you're absolutely right. And let me tell you something else. Between the two, there's no comparison. Forget everything else. She is much more experienced, and she's honest. This other character took $20,000 and flipped his decision on the Zignago decision. I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that. This guy took $120,000 from the Republicans to advise him on how to overturn the election. I don't want the guy in the Supreme Court. I don't want that guy in the Supreme Court. Yeah, Janet does have better campaign people, but she's also more experienced. She's honest. She's honest, for Pete's sake. So, I mean, look, the deal is the election's coming up. We have got to stand with Judge Janet. Very quickly, Stephen of Green Bay, my friend, we have 1 minute to the break. Tell me what you think, and I'll come in after the break.
Hey, Matt. I was just going to say that the Republican Party, I'm not even sure that we should be calling it the Republican Party anymore. I think it should be not referred to as that, because really all they're trying to do is stay in power and search for power. And
Stephen, stay on the line. Anastasia, hold on, Stephen. Anastasia will keep you on the line. We're going to a break, and then I want you to come back and tell me the full thing, what you got to say. It deserves hearing. Go to the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadful.
Oh. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines with Stephen of Green Bay. Stephen, you started to say your piece, and we had to go to a break. Tell me what's on your mind today.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for keeping me on the line. So all I was trying to say, it was a line of thought that I had about specifically the Republican Party and how they shouldn't be called the Republican Party because they're not the Republican Party. I like to call them the Anti-Democracy Party. And my reasoning for thinking this way is perfect example. Them willing to take and, you know, put this whole country into recession and default on our loans if Biden doesn't give them what they want. They know they can't get it because they don't have a majority in the Senate. So now they're trying to basically, you know, take a hold of, you know, America and just throw it down the drain so they can get what they want. And, you know, we see this in state government as well with this Kelly guy saying that if he gets on the bench that he will not put a Democratic presidential candidate through, only a Republican. Well, what is that? That's not democracy. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And we really need to think about our children and what kind of country we want them to inherit, because if we keep messing around with this so-called Republican Party, they're not going to have much of a country left to inherit.
That is very powerfully put. Let me build on that a little bit, Stephen. Thanks for calling. What we're seeing in the, and then I'll talk about Kelly, but I'm going to start with the Congress. The Republicans have, I think it's 223 seats. These aren't 223 people. These are, I think, about a dozen or 14 people, and they're the worst. It's Scott Perry leading them, and it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, you know, Matt Gaetz, and you know the rest of them. These are people who are willing to badly damage this country. If we default on our debt limit, what's going to happen is people around the world buy our treasuries. I mean, they buy our bonds. People around the world do that. And the minute we default, I mean, that's going to trigger a weakness that China is going to pick up on. It could induce them, and they may be on the cusp of invading Taiwan. It'll something everyone will mock us for. The Ruskies will take heart from that. It is absolute insanity. Because the money we're talking about on the debt limit is money that was already allocated and approved by a majority of Congress and by bipartisan majorities and signed by Biden. I mean, it is absolutely analogous to your going out and buying a TV set or something on a credit card and say, well, I have to have a second decision. Should I now pay what I have the TV? Should I now pay the bill? I mean, you can't do that if you are a country. You can't do it if you are a company. What happened was, a long time ago, you didn't have this second vote on the debt limit. If Congress voted on something, an expenditure, the president signed off on it, and it was spent, they then issued the bonds to pay for it. Somewhere along the lines, historically, the Republican Party said, we want a second vote. Should we pay for it? What do you mean, should you pay for it? By the second vote. Because they knew that they could vote for some stuff, and everybody had praised them, and it would be great. And then they could vote not to pay for it. But in those days, the Democrats had a majority, and they would vote to pay for it. And then the Democrats could be accused of being, quote, big spenders. And I'm not kidding, that is exactly what has occurred over the years. So when you hear about big spending Democrats, it's Democrats who vote to pay our bills. And in many cases, the Republicans will vote against it and then campaign on it. This happened in Alabama on hard infrastructure. Many of them campaigned against it. And then they say, look how much we're getting for our local airport. But they voted against it. This kind of hypocrisy may be funny up to a point. It's not funny if we default on the debt ceiling. So thanks very much for calling in. The answer has got to be we have 211, 212 Democrats. It requires 218, so we'd need another 6 Republicans. There are at least 4 in New York State where it flipped. Now, one of them is Santos, who not only stole the GoFundMe money for the cancer-suffering guide dog, but now he stole the bail money for his co-defendant for stealing credit cards. The guy is trash. But the other 3, they flipped. They had been Democratic seats. They had better sign on to a discharge petition. And there are 1 or 2 of them in Pennsylvania, and there are several in California. If they don't come clean on this and say, we will vote to increase the debt ceiling, Biden's going to have no choice. We have never defaulted in the history of the country. Not since George Washington was president, and he didn't have a lot of money to work with. And the British still tried to harass him, and they launched the War of 1812 after he had died, and they sided with the South in the Civil War. And nevertheless, Washington to Lincoln, everybody paid his debts, no matter what. And to Roosevelt, Second World War, we paid our debts. And everybody else, and now Biden, they don't want to pay the debts, so they can say he defaulted. This is not right. If you're a Republican, you've got to understand it's not right. If you're an independent, you've got to understand it's not right. And what I'm simply saying is that Biden has got to make sure by executive order that if they do this, before we stop paying Social Security payments, which are pensions and bonds, he has got to order Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, and Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, to pay the debts, issue the bonds to pay the debts. And I don't care what federal judge, I don't care if it's Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the Colombian she-wolf down in helped Trump kind of hide the theft of the documents. I don't care if it's the 6 tarantulas or any of them. Alexander Hamilton himself in the 18th century, when somebody posed exactly this kind of a dilemma, said, well, the Supreme Court does not have an army. And when Lincoln was told by a federal court to do things that would hurt the Civil War, and there was some thought that the Supreme Court would order him to stop the Civil War, he would not have obeyed. And they can't do it now. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great caller as always. Great topics. Matt Flynn Direct, back same time, same place on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Signing off for today.